following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist. With just a week until voters head to the polls, former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot holds a commanding lead in the race for becoming Chicago's next mayor. That's according to results of a Temkin-Harris poll conducted in partnership with Crane's and WTTW. The poll indicated Lightfoot leads Preckwinkle by 36 points, 53% to 17%. That's consistent with margins reported by some other polls, though sources close to Preckwinkle say their margins are considerably tighter. 29% of those surveyed say they're undecided between the two candidates. Of those surveyed, 63% said they would not have supported Mayor Emanuel again had his name been on the ballot, compared to just 25% who say they would have. Another 12% there were also undecided. More business headlines and updates after a word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Just as Sterling Bay closes in on final city approval for the Lincoln Yards mega project, the Chicago real estate developer now has plans for a 47-story Michigan Avenue tower. The proposed building would sit at 300 North Michigan Avenue and include retail space, nearly 300 each of hotel rooms and residential units, and would replace a four-story brick building the developer bought in 2013, which has sat vacant since its tenants, Radio Shack, Walgreens, and Subway, moved out. The tower would add yet another high-profile project to Sterling Bay's portfolio, in addition to the $6 billion Lincoln Yards project along the North Branch of the Chicago River and a slew of other proposed developments downtown, including several office buildings in Fulton Market. The project has support of the Chicago Loop Alliance and the Magnificent Mile, but is subject to approval by the Chicago Plan Commission, City Council Zoning Committee, and full City Council. That's according to Alderman Brendan Riley. Find renderings of the proposed tower at chicagobusiness.com. Boeing plans to meet this week with pilots, tech leaders, and regulators to explain the measures that it's taking to get its 737 MAX back into service after the aircraft was grounded following two deadly crashes in less than 5 months. Today, in an emailed statement, Boeing said that the company invited more than 200 stakeholders for an informational session Wednesday in Renton, Washington, where the model is built. The company also said that it met with some U.S. and overseas customers over the weekend. Meanwhile, carriers around the world are shuffling to make it work. In a statement, American said it's extending flight cancellations until April 24th as it waits for more information, which amounts to about 90 canceled flights a day. Norwegian Air said it'll take short-term leases on replacement aircraft and postpone the sale of six of its older generation 737s to help cover for its 18 grounded MAX jets. Boeing shares saw gains as of this morning in New York. Chicago law firm Mayer Brown has fired a partner for, quote, inappropriate personal conduct with a subordinate. According to an email the company's chairman sent to the firm late last week, Zachary Barnett, the global head of the firm's fund finance practice, is no longer with the organization due to conduct. When he took over as practice head in 2015, Barnett managed a 23-lawyer team representing lenders and borrowers in real estate, private equity, debt, energy, infrastructure, and hedge fund financings. Mayer Brown is one of Chicago's largest law firms, with $1.31 billion in revenue in 2017, which is the most recent year financial data is available. The firm has more than 1,600 lawyers worldwide, including nearly 400 in its Chicago office. According to a survey released by Lurie Children's Hospital and the Chicago Department of Public Health, 40% of working parents in Chicago don't have paid leave to care for sick children. Survey respondents said loss of income was the most common reason cited for not taking time off when it was needed. Previous research has shown that when parents have paid leave, their children are more likely to receive flu vaccines, annual medical checkups, and timely medical care, Lurie said in a statement. The survey also revealed that 92% of children whose family income was at least 400% above the federal poverty line had better health status compared to 81% of children with family income in the 100 to 399% of the poverty line and 76% of children with family income lower than 100%. Coming up, we'll check in with Crane's Chicago Business senior reporter Steve Daniels, who's been covering the Illinois prepaid tuition saga. That's right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies, with comprehensive and personalized financial solutions coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands. Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business senior reporter Steve Daniels, who has been covering the Illinois tuition saga, here to talk with us about the latest. Steve, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So catch us up. I feel like this is a story that's been going for so long and has so many different paths and tentacles to it. It's hard to kind of keep up with all that it is, but catch us up with kind of where it started up to now.
Well, it's maybe best to start at the beginning. This was a program designed to help parents save for their children's college costs, created in the late 90s. And the idea was for those who had a pretty good idea that their kids would be going to a school in state, that they could pay for contracts that would guarantee the cost of tuition and some other costs when their kids got to that age. So it was the idea of it was, this is a worry-free way to know that you'll have enough to cover those costs. And you would basically be purchasing contracts. Now, the contracts were marketed in a very deceptive way for many years, where effectively these were marketed as peace of mind contracts. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to worry about what the markets are going to do or anything like that. But in practical effect, the state of Illinois did not guarantee those contracts. In fact, what the only thing they guaranteed was that if the money in the investment fund to cover them ran short, that the governor would tell the legislature, hey, there's not enough money here. And the legislature could either provide some or not. So in 2011, we ran a story with the fund very greatly underfunded at the time. And this was, of course, coming out of the disaster of the Great Recession and the financial crisis. And the executive director at the time decided to take a very risky course of putting, you know, roughly half of the assets in the investment fund into alternative investments like hedge funds, private equity, real estate. You know, we're not talking about a huge fund here. This is not a multi-billion dollar fund. It's a $1 billion fund. And so we ran an investigative piece that exposed all of this. And as a result, he was removed. There was a whole new commission put on to take care of the program. The program was put on hiatus. And then they rebooted it and found that there were very few people interested in purchasing contracts once they did that. So in the meantime, the fund never caught up to what its obligations were, and then they came to kind of a moment of reckoning that they're at right now to decide, do we reopen this fund again? They had closed it for a second time 2 years ago. And if so, do we slap a state guarantee on these contracts? They ultimately decided, yes, we need to put the state guarantee on because it's just simply not fair to the people who've bought in to tell them they're out of luck once they get there. But at the same time, the legislature has demanded that the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, which runs this program, not reopen it to new contracts. So that's where we are. And the price tag for that is immense. That bailout is over $500 million. ISAC has estimated. So that's what taxpayers are likely to have to shell out beginning in 2026 and going on over a number of years as all of these, you know, some of them are babies or very young children today reach college age. So that's where we're at.
Which is a lot. I'm sure that worried a lot of families during the process of this, thinking, hey, I thought I did the right thing. I thought I had planned and made some really responsible fiscal choices to get my kid into school. And now I don't know if I can do that. I'm sure that was a lot of panic in a lot of families. What was that public reaction like during this?
Well, when we first ran the piece, there was a lot of reaction from families because it was a shock most of them thought that the state guaranteed this. So there was a lot of anger, unhappiness. The legislature at the time responded very quickly. The Governor Quinn, who had just succeeded Governor Blagojevich at the time, appointed a brand new commission and told everybody everything would be okay, they'd fix it. And they tried, but it just hasn't worked, and the fiscal hole is too deep.
That's a pretty big gap for the state to try to make up there, to figure that out for families. And so what is kind of the next beat of this, or the next chapter of this, as we're looking at the story on the horizon?
Well, the one thing, it's worth it to take a second and pause and just realize how big of a screw-up this was. So we're talking about a program that over, 20 years, and then for another 20 years or maybe thereabouts, has served and will have served roughly 75,000 students. $500 million for 75,000 students over four decades. For every one of those students, taxpayers are shelling out over $6,500 for every single one. For a program that, as well-intentioned as it was, it's pretty small. And it certainly, it's far lesser known than the Bright Start program that many Illinoisans use to save for college for their kids. Now, that one doesn't guarantee you anything. You just get the ability to invest the money and get tax benefits and hopefully, have a nice little chunk there when a junior gets ready to go off to school. But this one, to run up a $500 million bailout tab on a program this small is mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's pretty significant. To the best of your knowledge, have other states done anything like this or run into any similar issues?
Yes, absolutely. And a number of them have had to bail out programs and have ended them already. We're a little bit late, actually. There's fewer and fewer of these. They're called prepaid tuition programs. There's fewer and fewer of these. Most states now just have the Bright Start style college savings plan where you've got some investment options and you pick and choose and then whatever you've got when your kid's ready to go to school is whatever you've got. The whole idea behind this was flawed from the start. The idea was that you could, as a agency, predict what tuition inflation was going to be and predict what the markets were going to do in a period of 20 years or whatever, and then charge appropriately to ensure that you had the money when the time came. Even the best investment professionals would have a hard time doing that. And, think about when this program was started. It was in the late 90s. What was happening in the late 90s? Stock markets were going through the roof. So this was fool's gold. This was a lot of people saying that that's just going to keep happening. It's easy to do all of this because markets just keep going up at crazy annual returns. And it was just a flawed concept from the very beginning. And Illinois kept digging and digging. And finally, now they're stopping. And now that they're stopping, the cost is $500 million.
It is really, really significant. And that's why we have been following your reporting and will continue to do so. I'm sure this is not the last we've heard of this as more developments happen. Steve Daniels, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find these stories, breaking news, data, and more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter as @AmyGuth. And let's continue the conversation.